Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. And this week I am back with another fun learning and skill building topic to dive into. I wanted to talk about sensory needs. Fidget toys have become very, very popular in the last few years, and I thought it would be fun to not only talk about fidget toys, but what the need for fidget toys is, and some different ways that we can incorporate those needs into experiences and activities. So, I remember when fidget spinners became very, very popular, and it seems like everybody had one, and it seemed like they became popular because kids realized that they could move very quickly in very different ways and create a intriguing visual experience depending on how you used them. And before that, we've always had different things that we could create similar sensory experiences with. I don't know about you, but I am an 80s baby, and when I was a kid, I loved, wait for it, bubble wrap. And it was the same kind of thing. It was this funny feeling air pocket that you needed to apply pressure to that made this really cool popping sound. And it was gratifying when you were able to find a bunch of them at once that would make a pop. Now, some of the pockets looked inflated, but when you tried to express them, they didn't do anything. The air had already been let out, unfortunately. But that's another form of sensory experience. And I've talked about sensory experience before. Sensory experience can be a lot of different things. It can be a visual experience. It can be an auditory experience, meaning it can be a need for a certain level of noise or a need to avoid certain kinds of noises. I actually discovered years ago that I am actually very auditorily, hopefully that's the right word, sensitive to certain noises. And so I tend to get very almost frustrated in very loud settings where there's a lot of different auditory things going on. Maybe music being played and people talking or TV running or all of these things going on at once, and it can become a very overwhelming experience. And so I tend to find myself looking to get away from that and find an area that is more quiet or calming just for a little while so that you give yourself a break. You give your ears a break, and you also kind of give your ability to think a break. And so you can give kids all different kinds of sensory experiences. An example sometimes can be what I am doing right now. I was indoors and came outside to record this episode. It's a different sensory experience. Inside, it was warm. There was a different kind of light. And there were different smells and sounds and things going on. I come outside and there are different things to experience, different things to explore, different things to look at and take in. Ironically, the weather also has an effect on the different sensory experiences available outdoors. There are plants that in warmer weather would give off soothing smells. There's mint, there's flowers, there's trees, there's all kinds of things to smell. In different weather, right now the sun's not out, but on a sunny day, the sky would be a different color. The sun would be out. You'd be able to pick out the different shapes of the clouds because you could see that the clouds had separated. Clouds is a good example. For some reason, weather and science and nature things are references I go back to again and again when I give examples of these topics. But clouds is a really interesting sensory experience. It can be an educational experience as well, because you can give kids different materials that represent clouds and the different kinds of clouds. And as the example I just gave, the different kinds of clouds we would experience during different kinds of weather and how they might feel or look or move differently in different weather patterns. That leads me to another sensory experience: movement, whether that's dance or that's participating in a sport, or it's simply engaging in some sort of a gross motor game, all give kids a different sensory experience. One of the games that I talk about a lot is obstacle courses. Obstacle courses can be a great sensory outlet. You can do them indoors, you can do them outdoors, you can do them in good weather, you can do them in bad weather, and you can use them for different purposes. So, the type of obstacle course you build is going to depend on the kinds of materials you have available to build one. You could build a weather-oriented obstacle course. You could create obstacles that would give kids the experience of going through different kinds of weather. So wind or rain or snow or sleet or ice would be a really fun sensory obstacle course experience. And you could incorporate anticipation into that by asking questions before they would go through a specific obstacle to anticipate what kind of a sensory experience they might have during a specific phase of the obstacle course. You could do the same thing with a scavenger hunt. Scavenger hunts are really great for sensory experiences because you're looking for different things and you're thinking about where you might find these different things. And in the process of finding them, you're experiencing different senses and you're using different senses, but you're engaging different sensory experiences depending on what it is you're searching for and where those things are located, and all kinds of interchangeable factors. You can use sensory experiences for all kinds of outcomes. You can use sensory experiences, as we've been talking about, for educational purposes. You can use sensory experiences with the obstacle course and scavenger hunt examples to build skills, build critical thinking skills, build those sensory perception skills. You can build math skills, reading skills, listening skills, and tie sensory experiences to them based on how you set different experiences up, or different invitations up. Because sensory experiences can also be invitations. They can be an invitation to play. They can be an invitation to learn. They can be an invitation to grow or to build a skill. So we tend to overlook our need for sensory experiences, and a change in our day-to-day sensory experiences. Switching up your sensory experiences can change your mood. They can change the moods of the kids in our lives. They can change the behavior of the kids in our lives. If kids become overstimulated from a sensory experience, they may have negative experiences or negative behavioral reactions. But if they have a positive or a soothing sensory experience, those reactions and behaviors are going to be positive. And that can mean that they're able to refocus and complete a task that maybe a little while earlier they struggled to complete. So sensory is very important to our day-to-day learning and our day-to-day engagement. And unfortunately, both for kids and adults, it is something that we take for granted. We can all find different ways to incorporate sensory experiences into our day. I happen to find things like the water or the beach. I think I used to talk about that quite a bit. Very, very soothing and calming. But when you're at the beach, there's all kinds of sensory experiences going on. The sand itself is a sensory experience. The water, whether it's a lake or the ocean, is a sensory experience. It's a visual experience. It's an auditory experience. It's a physical experience. The things that you find on the beach or in the water are a sensory experience. That's a really great segue, because one of the things that I love to use most as a teaching tool is things that are connected to the water and the beach and the world that is under the surface of different bodies of water. And that creates different sensory experiences. I loved as a kid, and still love as an adult, searching for seashells. Seashells themselves are a specific kind of a sensory experience. They have a specific feel and a look and a way that they feel in your hand. But there are other things that you can find in a lake or in a river or in the ocean that can give a different kind of sensory experience. The different things that live in those bodies of water can give sensory experiences. The water itself can give, depending on the temperature of the water, can give an altered sensory experience. Some people will find a certain temperature of water very, very cold and unpleasant. Others will find it warm and soothing. So you can have all kinds of sensory experiences if you are close to a body of water. You know, the weather and the clouds that I was talking about a few minutes ago also offer varied sensory experiences. As I said, I'm outside right now, and it's what I consider a warmer day than what we've had. But you still have to bundle up because it's still technically winter. But it's enjoyable to be out here today because it hasn't been this warm in quite some time. And it feels good to be outside, to see the clouds, to be out in natural light, even though technically the sun isn't really showing itself. And as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm noticing that the clouds have actually changed. So they went from being this white blanket with no separation when I first started this episode to now being able to see the definition and the different shapes and the different sizes as they've broken apart a little bit. And so that can be a fun sensory experience. So obviously, you know, you can't reach up and necessarily touch the clouds themselves, but you can use materials that would recreate the clouds and allow kids to experience the different ways that they feel under different weather conditions. You can use things like shaving cream or cotton or you could use all different kinds of things. I'm kind of drawing a blank at the moment, but those are a few examples. And getting kids to stretch and pull and maybe soak in some water, different materials to see how clouds react to different weather activity would be a really fun sensory experience. And perhaps you can vary the temperatures of those different things as well. You can get kids involved in experiments that can be sensory experiences as well. Getting them to explore what causes a cloud to form and what is the difference between a cloud and fog. Is there a difference? The act of going through an experiment is a sensory experience itself. And it is one that is a sensory experience, which means it's a skill-building experience, but it's also a educational experience because they're learning something as they're experiencing something as well. So whether your kids are craving sensory engagement or they're needing to pull back on some of their sensory exposure, These are some different fun learning and skill building ways that you can go about regulating their exposure to and need for sensory. So I hope you found this episode useful and exciting and fun. And I want to remind you that if you're looking for further support or inspiration, I want to invite you to join me over at thecreativecampusonline.com, where you can find information on my programs that I offer, some that are independent learning, some that are real-time virtual learning, and you can sign up for those things at thecreativecampusonline.com. I hope that you will join me for those experiences because I really enjoy getting to meet all of you in a face-to-face format, which allows me to learn from you guys at the same time that you get to continue to learn from and with me. So that is what I have for you this week. I also want to mention that I do have both free and paid experiences over there, so you can feel free to sift through those and see what you're interested in, what you want to learn more about. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. You can also find me on social media where I share more creative learning and skill building ideas. So you can check out those outlets as well. I want to thank you for joining me this week. And I hope you will come back next week when I will have another fun learning and skill building topic to dive into together. If you have something specific that you want me to dive into, or that you have questions about, social media is a great way to find me and to ask me those questions or get me those suggestions. You can also offer up those suggestions when and if you join me for the virtual live experiences. All the more reason to check those out and come be a part of them with me. Don't forget that they are offered each and every week. Not that you have to participate each and every week, but they are available. So thank you for joining me this week. I can't wait to talk to you next week when we'll have more fun learning and skill building experiences to share together. Have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you next time.